Whipper.
Batman takes on Campbelltown is on the front page of the paper. I'm Batman. I've always thought I did a really good version of that. Can we just have a moment to celebrate what I do? You ready? I'm Batman.
Sort of.
It's not bad,
Sam. It's not bad, but it doesn't give me tingles.
What about this? Because I just realised this morning, Fitzy, you and I learnt Sarah's the biggest Batman fan in the world.
So big.
I had no idea. Would your dream be for Gary to turn up as Batman?
In the Batmobile.
Wow.
Yep. He's more Robin. Excuse me.
Yeah, he's a bit more Robin.
Is it the red hair?
He's more Robin.
Not the red hair and quite thin.
He's just the offsider who's a bit dorky.
Yeah, I think you're right.
How dare you?
Batman's not a lawyer. Batman saves lives. Robin. He doesn't go through paperwork till 11 o'clock at night and deal with fools in Canberra.
Gary does love his paperwork. It's a lot of emails after midnight.
Feels really weird, I reckon, when you get picked up by Gary in the Batmobile.
No, it doesn't.
You're probably listening to Smooth FM and then you go to a pub in Paddington for a Chardonnay.
Well, everyone is.
He's got so many good things in his utility belt, though.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, back to this guy in Campbelltown and your bad Batman impersonation.
A pen collection. I'm Batman. This is an unbelievable story. These idiots in Blacktown at the court yesterday. He was given a fine, right? What he does, he dresses up this bloke by the name of Zach. I'm not going to try and attempt his last name. Zach dresses up and helps out the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yeah.
And helps put a smile on sick kids' faces. He was parked in a school zone for 11 minutes, didn't get out of the car while he was talking to kids.
Dressed as Batman. He does it for camp quality as well.
Awesome.
Like, sick kids love seeing Batman rock up. Like, this guy's got a huge heart, volunteers his time.
Yep.
They give him a friggin' parking fine for 11 minutes.
The parking officer didn't even approach Batman. Well, you wouldn't. Took a photo and then he received a fine in the mail
saying you're
in the wrong area, threatening public or endangering public. What are you talking about?
Batman went, stuff that.
Mm. I'll see you in court. And imagine that moment when, you know, the judge and the officials asked him to state his name and he just said, I'm Batman.
Yeah.
And they went, oh, sorry, I'm actually Zach from Black
Who
Town.
Are you?
I'm Batman.
Don't hurt me.
Who are you? And I'm here to save the city. Anyway, the judge has laughed at this fine and it's been thrown out within minutes.
I didn't know that. Yeah. So we were teeing off at Blacktown the whole time, but they've turned.
No, because the Blacktown Council, they said the man was putting the public at risk and deserved to be fined. Thank God the judge came out and laughed at the fine.
I don't understand.
How ridiculous.
Putting your car in it. Because I've been done. I remember last year when the City to Surf was on, I was trying to pick up a friend, couldn't get through because the roads were blocked. I've pulled out of the traffic into a no-stopping area. It didn't even stop the engine. I'm just talking to my passenger going, where do we go? And I got a $400 fine. I saw him in the rear vision mirror. Yeah. How is it dangerous to pull into a no-stopping?
No stopping.
But you've pulled out of the way.
Sarah, no stopping.
Do you know what's annoying?
What did you do?
I didn't stop. I paused. My engine was still running.
I pulled out
and went, where do we go? I don't know, maybe go left. And I've pulled back in and I see the guy, click, photo.
No, so you're saying it should say no pausing.
It should say no pausing or no stopping momentarily just for 1 second for Sarah McGilvray. There's that option, Sarah. Or if you dress as Wonder Woman. That might be another way to get out of it. I think if we all got Batmobiles and dressed as Batman,
let's do character dress up day.
Yeah. We could argue every fine.
Be a less dramatic Batman movie series if instead of fighting crime, we just took you to court.
There is a movie, Batman.
Is there? What does he do?
I'm serious.
Does he get fined?
There's a movie called Batman and Throbbin.
Okay, Fitzy, that is in a section of the video store that none of us are allowed to go.
Buttman and Throbbin, they were in court for different reasons.
It's a harrowing story about a guy with hemorrhoids. It's horrible. Darren Hinch, first day of Parliament yesterday. God, and there was a few scumbags yelled out. It's your typical...
Scumbag! Weren't they aggressive yesterday?
Malcolm Turnbull and the Coalition are going to have a very tough time getting anything passed through Labor or anyone in there because there's some... fiery people. One person that's going to struggle because if you start falling asleep on your first day of Parliament, you're in for a long few months, and that's Darren Hinch.
I mean, you've got to ask yourself the question. How don't you fall asleep in Parliament?
Well, it's
so
hard.
Picture yourself sitting there and you go, oh my God, you've come back from lunch and you sit back and you hear somebody reading off a sheet for a while, I'm gone.
Well, see, like last week, I think Paul Murray did. Paul Murray got them together. Mm-hmm. He got all the independents together last week just to have a bit of a chat in Parliament, and Darren Hinch fell asleep in there.
Oh, God. Oh, okay.
And there was cameras in there. So he's come out today and said that I've had to smash a heap of no-dos before going into Parliament.
Just to keep it ticking.
13, 24, 10, any tradies out there that take no-dos?
But I used to take them to a bit of no-dos.
Because you can get them at petrol stations.
Yeah, they're not prescription.
Well, they're just high caffeine.
Are they?
Yeah, caffeine. Yeah,
they work.
Tablets.
They definitely work.
Well, I think they've affected him big time because they've muddled up his brain because he's actually taken Jackie Lambie to the midwinter ball.
Oh God, so he's not well.
No-dos must be affecting him somehow.
I don't know if that would be no-dos. You're right. Maybe he's been awake for the past week and he's completely lost his mind. Who has Jackie Lambie hanging off your arm as you walk down a red carpet?
When I was younger, I used to take some as well, but I was a bit freaked out because on the way to Mitsubishi, I used to fall... sometimes I'd fall asleep in the car driving, Sarah, which was quite dangerous.
How is that possible?
Well, it was just so early in the morning. We'd start so early in the morning and about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning driving to Mitsi's, and I was a young fella. And you know when you're like a teenager... You're supposed to be sleeping in till 8, 9 o'clock in the morning.
You go to bed at midnight.
So I was just falling asleep. So Mum said, go and grab some no-dos at the petty station on the way into work.
Mm. I've done it where you fall asleep at the lights. And then someone hits you on the horn and you go, oh, bang. I've done it falling asleep at the drive-through Macca's.
Don't you think that, doesn't your brain suddenly go, oh, my God, this is too dangerous. This is an alert situation.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden you realise your blink is a little bit longer than the last blink you took. And the next thing you know, your blink's permanent and you're gone.
I did that in the office a few years ago. Remember, I was sitting in my chair. I think Tom found me, kicked to the back of my chair and woke me up.
Yeah.
But at least then I wasn't behind the wheel. I felt comfortable. The chair had a very high back.
I did it yesterday at about 7:30 during the news when you were talking about Orlando Bloom.
Yeah, I could tell.
I mean, a lot of people. I did it at your wedding when you got up and spoke. What? Brad from Newcastle, do you take no-dos regularly, Brad?
Hey, Fitzy, g'day, Wibby, how you going?
Yeah, good, Brad. What's your story, mate? How often are you on the no-dos?
Yeah, mate, I have them probably twice, 3 times a week, and then I wash them down for good old Krispy Kreme and chalky milk.
Oh, good stuff. That's Fitzy's going to love that this morning, Brad. You've made Fitzy's day. Man.
It goes down real good, yeah. It's a good meal.
What do you do, Brad? Why do you need to be... why are you falling asleep?
Oh, I'm just a tibby, bud, but I drive down from Newcastle every morning, so I listen to you every morning.
Thanks, it's
a good drive.
Hey, Brad, I know it's a personal question, but what are you tipping the scales these days? How many kgs?
I weighed myself this morning.
Oh, yeah?
94.
Oh, not bad.
Dude, that's all right, Brad.
You're only 4'2", though, which is a bit
of an issue.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Just remember your double studs at opening, Brad, on site today, mate, if you're doing any framing. All right? Sorry, mate, just a couple of chippies having a chat.
Josh in Avalon, do you know someone who fell asleep at the lights, Josh?
Yeah, boys, I got off the M2. I'm working out at Western Suburbs. I pulled up to the light, and everyone was queuing up behind this bloody little young tradie in a ute.
Oh, no.
And I had a truckie behind me, lights went green. Guy didn't move.
Oh, fast.
The truckie's going ballistic, and then I've hopped out, and the kid's just full on asleep, mouth open, and everything. So funny.
Jeez.
You got to be so tired not to hear
it. I even knocked on the window, didn't move, didn't do anything, so I had to full on bang on the window, and then he's like jumped and went to go, and it's like, went to run the red, and
it's scary. It is dangerous.
You know when you're so warm in a car as well, and
cozy.
The sun's on you, and you
look pretty cozy in there for it.
And you're just in that little moment by yourself. It's
hey,
like
Josh,
when
the most important question, though. What do you have for breakfast, Josh? What's your tradies breakfast?
A couple of wheat bix.
See, that's good.
Josh, that's not the answer we're looking for, mate. Not one person has mentioned a can of V this morning.
There's healthy blokes out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just love the Krispy Kreme, chocolate milk, and you add the no-dos to it.
Bang.
I think that's the winner so far. Tom, what do you reckon?
Yeah, that's definitely winning, Fitzy.
Well done, mate. You're a good kid, Tom.
Great news. Just agree with him, Tom.
What apprenticeship did you do as a tradie, Tom?
He did a nursing course,
well,
didn't
you? Well, I wasn't nursing, but similar to nursing, yeah. Yep, and it was really good, and look where I am now.
You've made it.
Yep. Oh, I feel like I've made it.
You're a brain surgeon. Nice.
Anyone who's been in a long-term relationship knows that when it comes to getting a little bit intimate, it can get harder because it falls by the wayside. There's chores around the house, busy work, life. There's kids. There's a US author, her name's Brittany Gibbons, and what she's done, she's set time, Sarah, to have special cuddles with her husband every night for a whole year, 365 days.
Do you mean she set a time slot, like at 7.30 we're going to do this?
Well, it was a bit of an experiment, but she said she was one of these women that didn't like herself naked. I kept the lights off, I hid my stomach and boobs inside.
That's you, sir.
And thank you, Whip.
She said, I waited for my husband to leave the bedroom before I barreled from the shower to get to my closet to get dressed. She goes, that was my life. So she said, I'm going to do this. And she said, after speaking to a friend who did this, she said it's the best way to get your relationship back on track. She posed that she did like a PowerPoint presentation to her husband, and her husband went, yep, I'm in. So literally.
Know, yeah,
so,
hang on. So is it the PowerPoint or the running from the toilet nude that has got her back on track?
I would say the PowerPoint presentation.
Or the PowerPoint.
I mean, it was the idea for her to find confidence in her body fits as you slowly read the article for the first time?
No.
Or was it the idea that, you know, we're intimate, what will it be like? Will it help our relationship? I mean, what was the social experiment?
Well, she said it started off rough. Some days she was just too tired and she didn't want to be touched. But as the months passed, I started looking forward to it. She said that the loved-up connection of intimacy began showing outside the bedroom. We were more romantic with each other, touching arms as we passed each other in the kitchen.
Touching arms?
I know, I couldn't think of anything worse.
Terribly saucy, the old arm touch.
Oh, God, how do you guys get it on? We touch each other's arms.
But what she found, the most surprising thing, was how she started feeling about herself. By the end of the year, she was happy to walk around naked. No more bolts from the shower to the bedroom.
That's it. It's the body confidence.
Sarah, this could be it.
This is you and Gary.
Don't speak about like it.
Now, you're in a new relationship. Your honeymoon period. Maddie DeGroote, you probably are as well. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I couldn't think of anything worse.
Couldn't be stuffed.
Doing it every day.
Every night?
No. Every night.
Why?
No way.
I just want to sleep, Sarah.
When you get home from work and you're tired, Sarah, are you serious?
Yeah, but it's the fun thing that makes the day worthwhile.
If it was with more than one woman, it might be different.
But like you can handle more than one female.
This is a personal question.
No, please.
But how often?
Oh, hang on a minute. Oh, hang on.
No,
on behalf of Gary, who knows him better than Sarah, hang on a minute.
Every day, Sarah?
I don't see him every day. It's not a drone.
I was going to say, he spends a lot of time in Canberra.
I'll be the good cop, you be the bad cop.
Right now, you're both bad cops.
But is it every time you do see him?
Friday, when I said they caught up Fitz and I was there.
Because you know him, because you lived with him.
Hashtag Hansy. They were just...
Do you know, I told him last night that you've been quite thrown by this experience.
Not thrown,
and he said
excited.
To me, why? There was nothing different about it. I was like, I know clearly Whipper has not seen intimacy since his first child was born, other than the accident of the second. So, hugging and stuff.
Can I just say, even when I first started seeing BJ, I don't think I was going anywhere near every day of the week. No, I reckon at the most maybe three times a week.
If you saw her three times a week... Was it every time you saw her?
No. Well, that's when we started moving in with each other.
Okay, let's get BJ.
DeGroote, are you every day? Or
I mean, at this point, it's a very exciting time in young people's lives. And when you don't have every day together, it's exciting all the time.
It's important.
So you're just not a pig for traffic. That's awesome.
Not at all.
We need to talk about Married at First Sight. I love this show. And, I mean, it's just an amazing effort. You got to give it to them to go into a marriage without meeting that person.
Yeah, great idea. I recommend it even if you're not on TV. Just if someone says, I've got a great social experiment, do it anyway. Mm. It makes perfect sense to marry someone you've never met.
There are certain religions where you have to. Mm. You're already set up, mate.
Yeah.
Andy and Craig, can we talk about this? Because I think it was a great effort. And, obviously, you can't get married here in Australia if you are same-sex. But those guys have gone over to New Zealand, and it was a beautiful...
Okay, Andy, now that no, is, that it wasn't. Is nothing to do with a sheep.
So Andy and Craig went over there, and they were getting along like a house on fire, Sarah. They had to go get their photos taken. They had the breathtaking, you know, atmosphere and the views.
Great spot.
Where were they? South Island?
Don't know, mate.
Just go with it.
But
everywhere is beautiful. Everywhere. In New
well said.
There
Sarah.
Was a moment where they were high up on the cliff, and there was this beautiful background, and Andy was a little bit scared of heights, so they did the whole, "Oh, mate, look, I'll comfort you." Craig came over and said, "Look, come over here, give me a hug. I'm always here for you. We're going to spend the rest of our lives together." And I thought,
that's
this is
lovely.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Then they went back to the reception, had a few shandies. Everyone was having a great time. And then Craig introduced Andy to someone. Have a listen to this.
Hey, hello. Hello. You know, this is my ex-boyfriend.
Is it really?
What? For 10 years.
That's nice.
What's he doing there? What's an ex-boyfriend doing there?
No, but this is the thing. They're best mates now.
Oh,
no.
I don't care, buddy. That's your special day.
Yeah, so not invited.
Bring an ex.
So this is what happened. Okay. Andy started going into meltdown. I know,
Andy.
Things just changed completely. Went and sat next to Craig, he knew he was off, and he had to get up and talk to the camera.
The fact that he invited that guy to the wedding, that's really shocking to me. They were together for 13 years, and this is our day. I never thought that Craig would be so frivolous as to invite one of his exes to the first day of the rest of our lives.
Poor Andy doesn't like heights or ex-boyfriends.
Well, this is the thing.
I mean, that's not a great day for the poor lad.
Then Andy went and grabbed his best mate, right? And Andy was really upset. So Andy grabs his best mate and says, "Come on, I need to chat to you." So they went out to this other little bar. It was just those two, and then things got heated.
I wouldn't do that. I could have done that. I wouldn't do that.
Andy, what's going on? Why?
I'm out.
Why?
Aww. I think he's a deal breaker. Excuse me, is there any chance of a Jack Daniels, please?
Andy.
Whoa. Shut up.
No.
Just shut up. Jack Daniels and Coke, please.
Andy, just chill out for a moment.
Oh, he's out.
Oh, he's got a temper.
So did the Sharks invest?
Good to know.
Is that a deal breaker for you?
Only if you were meeting for the first time at the wedding, it doesn't fill you with comfort. If you knew each other and you dated for a couple of years and you understood the best friend or that they had become friends and you were okay with it, sure.
In this scenario,
but
no.
But yeah, this dumb scenario,
move.
No doesn't way.
Work. Dumb move inviting your ex to the wedding. Stupid.
Oh. Did you have any at yours?
No. And like I've said to you, like I'm still good friends with some of my exes, but no way in the world. Like I don't ring them all the time.
No. I think I had a couple. I think I had a few exes.
Then one night does not an ex make.
What do you mean by few? What number do you put on
there
few,
was a,
mate?
Maybe two or three? I know Laura was there. Went
Why
out with
would
Laura
you
for
invite
3 years.
Them?
That's weird.
Friend connection always has a special spot in my heart. You know what, Sarah? If you've gone out with me, you've won a golden ticket. Because
you're not Gene Wilder, mate.
Because
R.I.P. too
Gene.
Soon.
I will always look after you, knowing that we've shared a special time. And Lisa would understand that. I'd say, honey, you're the love of my life and who I want to spend the rest of my days with. But, you know, the other girls would have a special spot.
What about
They've stolen a piece of me.
What about that guy that Lisa went out with who had his own lawn mowing round and he was hot? What if
a lawn mowing round? What, was he 12?
No. Sarah, have you seen the photo? Have you got the photo of him?
No, I don't
have
it.
You have photos of her exes?
I don't have it on hand.
No,
she showed me off Facebook.
Mate.
And he is
Sarah, great. He's ripped.
Oh
have
God.
You seen him?
No, but why is she with you?
What if she...
No, Sarah. Sarah, ripped and mowing lawns, fat and fun over here. What would you prefer?
Well, I live in an apartment, so definitely fat and fun, but that's not a life choice.
Yeah, the Sharks have got Melbourne Storm this weekend. What a huge game. If they win, they can go on top of the ladder. If they lose, they could drop to third. And Mick Ennis, love getting you in. You were a little bit... look, can I just say that you had a lot of concern for Sarah. You were listening to the show on the way this morning,
Mick. Part of the 6 o'clock club.
Yeah.
Just don't get a mention.
What are you talking about?
Don't know what you're talking about, mate. Good start, Mick Ennis. Great to see you, mate.
Sarah's obviously copped a fine in a no-stopping zone.
No-stopping.
Now, mate, did you get any on your City to Surf run this year?
Aww.
You're warming up, aren't you? Yeah, no, we had a couple of stops on the City to Surf.
2.5 hours.
Yeah,
did
2.5 hours.
Bondi Beach and they were packing up.
No, they were still clapping on the way through, which was fine.
Monday morning.
Yep.
On the Monday.
Did Russell Crowe have a go at you about the City to Surf?
Oh, RC, mate of mine, Russell Crowe. He did ask how long it took me to do the City to Surf, and I hadn't explained that I had two prams, two kids, and
don't
a wife.
Don't blame the kids, mate.
And I said 2.5 hours, and he wrote back, "What? You did it twice?" So we welcome all City to Surf.
What a time of year. Spring, first day of spring.
It's brilliant, mate.
Mate, I had a great run in here.
Did
you? There was no traffic.
It's beautiful.
I'm in a no-stopping, so we can't be long. I'm in my Batmobile. So
How good's the Batmobile?
Unbelievable.
Well, I'm done. Batman.
You could
that's
do...
good. Do it again.
No, I better not.
No, go for
I
it.
I can only do it once.
I'm Batman.
You could do that. Why don't you do that? I mean, you love going out and seeing the kids and signing autographs. You could dress up as Batman and go out.
Be another superhero, mate.
How do you reckon I'd go?
You could be Robin.
Well, I can't be Robin because of Gary.
Gary is not Batman.
Gary is Batman.
What do you reckon, sir? He's more an Incredible Hulk.
Spider-Man.
Oh, Hulk. Yes, I see that. Look at the
Astro
shoulders.
Boy.
Astro Boy.
Yeah. Astro Boy was great.
They are really short shorts you're committing to.
What about one of the Flintstones or something like that, Mick?
Flintstones.
That wouldn't be bad.
They're not superheroes.
Hey, guys, you wouldn't believe it. We've got a call to give Mick Ennis a job. Who's on the line? Who have we got?
I don't want to reveal myself just to start with, but I've just been looking at Nick's pedigree, mate. He's perfect for rugby league sales. I mean, he's worn plenty of jerseys, T-shirts, polos, tracksuits and boots. But I'm worried about one thing, Nick. Why are you leaving your current employer? I mean, you've played for Comets, the Newcastle Knights, the Dragons, the Broncos, the Bulldogs, the Sharks, country, New South Wales. Why do you keep changing jobs? Why do you keep changing employers?
So before you give him a job, are you saying, caller, that he needs to settle down a little bit? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I just want to know, what's your strong point? Now, don't spite, Nick. What are your strong point?
Mate, I just come in and get him to a final series and then move on to the next joint.
Okay, okay. Without counting on your fingers, what are your weak points?
Jeez. Mate, we probably haven't got enough time. It's only a 10-minute segment, mate.
And also, just final question. Now, to get this job, you'd have to get some references from people like, say, Cameron Smith, Robbie Farah, Nate Miles. Can you come up with any reference to those guys? What do you think?
Oh, mate, you got me there.
That'd be tough.
Yeah, would be tough.
That'd be hard to do.
Do you know, I know this voice. I've heard this voice before on the ads. Is this Peter Wynn?
Hey,
you could be going and selling jerseys at Peter Wynn's school. How's that?
Mate, I've got that many jerseys in my cupboard from the different clubs I've played. I've probably got more in there than what he's selling at the moment.
Hey, Nick, I've employed some high-profile boys out of his Dan Jerd, Brett Kenyon, Steve Ella. So I think you could fit straight in there.
What's a Parramatta jersey worth this year, mate?
Not as much as it should be. Sale this weekend for $88 if you want one. Hey, this could be your next club. I think there's a year left in you, Nick. What do you reckon?
Oh, mate, if you can't score there, mate, you'll never score.
Peter Wynn, thanks for coming
on
the show.
Thanks, Pete. See you, buddy.
And also, we got Simone from the Shire. Have you got a job offer for Mick as well, Simone?
I do. I'd really love the lawn to be mowed a little more.
Oh, right, here
we go. Well, you're out of bed. Hey, she's out of bed. Can we get a...
You woke me up how early. I couldn't even get back to sleep.
This is the lovely Simone
Ennis. I don't know about this radio.
Yeah. And what does he do around the house, Simone? Is he pretty good, pretty handy?
Be careful. You know what happened on Tuesday.
Is he pretty handy around the house? Does he do all those little things?
He is pretty good. You know what? Actually, I heard you say before, what about being a painter? He painted our front fence.
Really?
You know what? On Tuesday.
Yeah, go on.
She said to me, you know what? We should really paint the front fence. I said, oh, beautiful. No, I'll get started. She watched me the whole day.
She didn't help at all.
She watched me the whole day.
Simone, did you do sandwiches and water or you just stood there?
No, she brought out a sandwich. She said, "Do you want to? How good's a jaffle?
Oh yeah,
ham and cheese jaffle. Yeah, you'd be a jaffle man.
Yeah, I love
jaffles.
Hang on a minute,
I've
been sitting there for 3 hours by the time I got it.
Simone, what else is on the list though? I mean, once the boots are hung up, what do you want to? What do you want your man to do?
Look, he's actually pretty good. He's so helpful around the house, especially with the kids. So there's not much. Right. I mean, I can't really drop him in. He's quite good, other than cleaning the pool and mowing the lawn.
What about a superhero, babe? Who would you like me to dress up as?
That's good. That's good.
Listen, I've told you I don't need a superhero. I'm really just an outfit. One time, one day. That's all I need. Just an outfit. Just once. After a game, just wear the outfit home.
Oh, wow. This is going to be brilliant, Simone. We appreciate you coming on the show. Is this retirement something that you're looking forward to, or you've got to spend more time with your husband now?
Yeah, everyone keeps saying that, but by the sounds of his new career, he's quite busy. But no, we're really excited to have him home. I think it'll be a little different, especially he won't be as tired. So I think that's what I'll be most excited about, especially for the kids.
Are you planning a holiday, Simone, once everything's settled down?
You know what? We're trying to do it right now, but if anyone has any ideas, to take four kids.
Yeah, North Korea. Queen Street Mall with Peter Wings. Yeah, that's not a bad holiday.
Oh, Simone, that's exciting. We're excited for you guys to have family time. That'll be lovely.
Yeah, Simone, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, babe.
Big game this weekend. Good luck against the Storm, big fella.
Thank you.
And we'll chat to you over the finals. We'd love to get you back on, Mick.
Can't wait.
Good on you, Mick. You gave it your best today and you can't ask any more.
That no stopping joke was pretty good. Oh, I'm going to use that.
Well, it was better than falling asleep in the car park joke at the gym, which I was waiting for on a weekly basis.
We've all moved on from that.
Thanks, Mick. See you, buddy.
Hosting a Father's Day lunch at the Glass Brasserie. You can visit glassbrasserie.com.au for more details. It's Lukey Mangan.
Lukey, welcome.
Do you reckon this that's the perfect idea. Father's Day gift?
Oh, mate, how good is that? Yeah. Huh? Lunch? Bit of meat?
I mean, is it all boys that we sit around as men and going, we made it, it's our day to celebrate?
Kind of, yeah, I'd like to. But, you know, we've got Butcher to the Stars joining us, Anthony Purach and his father, Victor. From Vic's Meats and Victor Churchill.
Oh, there's one down here at the fish market.
Indeed there is. Yeah.
They do this pulled pork bun. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. Yeah, so we've got them, and I'm going to do a little Q&A with them on the day, Father's Day, because they're a great father-son relationship, mm-hmm. how they've built the business and everything they do with meat, all that sort of thing. So that'll be a bit of fun.
Can we ask you, I know it's a basic question you've probably been asking
a
million
times. I'm a basic
sort of guy. No,
very basic.
We asked Heston Blumenthal as well.
Oh, good question.
Best way to cook a steak. Now, Heston reckons you've got to turn it every 15 seconds.
He'd get nitrogen on it somewhere too, wouldn't he?
There'd be a blowtorch in.
Big issues with that. I'm not into the nitrogen on the steak, but hey.
But he was like 15 seconds, 15 seconds, 15 seconds, 15 seconds, and it went for a couple of minutes or something.
What do you think?
That's it.
He's an idiot. Yeah. No, he's a good bloke. He's a good bloke. And he knows what he's doing. But we cook steak differently. I would do a 2.5 minutes, two and a half minutes on each side.
Yep.
Let it rest for about 5 minutes, bingo, medium rare.
Where do you let it rest, Luke?
In a warm area.
Foiled?
Okay.
No, I tend not to, just in a warm area. You know, some people cover it, I know.
September 4th, it's only around the corner, guys. Father's Day. This is the perfect Father's Day gift. Father's Day lunch at the Glass Brasserie. Visit glassbrasserie.com.au.
You boys have been to Mojo as well.
We're doing
a little Father's Day lunch there as well.
Great.
So a little bit more casual and
when's
blah,
the
blah,
bacon
blah.
Festival back?
Mate, it is on its way. Don't you worry about that.
Well, that is right. That just hits our hearts, doesn't it?
Last time I dropped into Mojo to see you, Luke, it was a bit of an awkward one.
What did we do?
Because I arrived and Guy Grossi was there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I just...
The God Pastor.
Yeah, the God Pastor. This is an Easter, this is a feaster. And looking very similar. It was just this moment of, I know you look like me,
doppelgangers.
And you know that I look like you.
Oh, so, they do look very similar.
Just put that together.
Yeah,
they do, yeah. But you're
similar.
A lot better looking, though.
Thank you. Yeah. That's all I was after with that story.
Luke Mangan, Grossi was a mate of mine, but that's fine.
Yes. Glassbrasserie.com.au. Luke, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, boys.
God, everyone's thinking about it, and I went to sleep trying to work this one out. Any chance the Black Eyed Peas are getting back together?
You did not. You only thought about it because we played one of their songs this morning, and Pitsy said, I wonder if they'll ever get back together.
Well, I'm talking, I said, will Fergie ever get back into the Black Eyed Peas?
Mm. Well, they're not officially back together, but they have re-released one of their favourites. This one, remember Where Is the Love? It was put together after September 11th. As sort of that showing unity and
where is
love,
the love and all, man?
Where is the love? Exactly. Well, they've decided to redo it, and they have got on board people like Mary J. Blige. They've Nicole Scherzinger, Jamie Foxx. They've even got Kendall Jenner for some reason, which I'm not sure about it.
You can't do it again, can you?
Well, yeah, they're saying with all the things that have gone on in the world, you know, the attacks in Paris and all this sort of stuff, it's time to reunite people. This was what Will.i.am, this is what he said really when describing the remake.
The millennials are powerful. I don't think they realize just how powerful they are.
You got to do your part in whatever capacity because you're representing your generation.
So they're trying to inspire the next generation.
I like it. I really like it.
I think so too.
Come up with a new song.
How many covers are there out there, mate?
I mean, what about
What about that Betty Who song that we're playing at the moment?
I Love You Always Forever.
Oh, yeah, great song.
It is.
But, gee, we're familiar with it. There's nothing wrong with re-releasing something, guys.
You will not speak badly about
Betty
Who in my segment.
I love the song. That's a great song. I'm just saying. It's fine to do another song.
No, but that's like the original girl just doing it again. Like, Black Eyed Peas come up with a new song.
Yeah, no,
yeah, true.
Right,
they're re-releasing. Anyway, last night, guys, it was all happening on The Bachelor. So Kiki didn't get a rose. She's the one that Warnie apparently had been hitting on. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if that you call that a win.
You call that a rose,
not
don't
a
you?
Rose and getting
I wonder
one
if
instead.
He's got in contact with her already.
Of course he has.
Surely.
Of course he has.
Nikki, who is one of the favourites, she dropped the L-bomb. Which was a bit awkward.
Can I just say,
leprosy?
Sarah.
Unfortunately,
no,
she's got leprosy.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah. No, she's fine.
Oh, so she's kept the health yeah. quiet. Sorry. Fine.
Everyone is pointing though toward tonight's episode. So Alex, who's been probably the front runner thus far, Kino, she said very early on to Richie that she had kids or a kid.
Yes.
Anyway, tonight she pulls out some photos to try and introduce him to them,
right.
So that they'll know who they are when he finally gets to meet them at home visits, but just not sure it's going to go the way she thinks. Have a listen.
I want you to be able to put a name to a face.
Alex makes things very real.
Maybe it's almost too real.
But will her family photos...
Never have I been in this situation in my life.
...be more than Richie can handle?
I need to decide whether or not I'm ready for that.
I'm still thrown, Sarah, to whether the girls are ready for it.
Watch saying I love you and showing pictures and things.
Yeah, because you know, the journey
he's friends
of,
to all women.
The journey of someone going on The Bachelor is they meet Richie for the first time and the first thing they say is, hey, I think we really had a connection there.
Yeah.
Then it turns into this moment where the cattiness and the challenge of trying to win the one guy, you know, it's like that expression, too long in the army. Doesn't matter what the female ends up looking like, you just want the female.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on here.
No, I think that would be a huge risk that you suddenly become obsessed with winning
with the
and
challenge.
Beating these other girls and your ego gets so bruised when he takes them on other dates. So it becomes about that rather than actually liking Richie.
Instead of the love.
I think you may be looking at it a little bit too complex.
I just
complex.
Want the love to be the love as we
it's
know
pretty
it.
Pretty basic, mate. You go in there, you have an attraction and you're trying to get the guy.
Well, you're not watching closely
well,
enough,
Well, two
mate.
Of the girls who, Megan and Tiffany, and Megan, remember, she walked out, they have done something to prove that they're not really that concerned by The Bachelor and not getting a rose. They've posed naked. Have a look at this.
Oh, wow. There was a few photos about her 2 days ago.
Completely naked in the outback. Yeah. They've called it sunset porn. It's actually gorgeous. What? They look amazing.
Have they got headphones
on? They put
on?
It on Instagram. They do not have headphones on.
Don't they? I think they do. They're listening to the podcast,
weird.
The Fitting Ripper podcast,
just
posing in the
moon.
Yeah, no, they're fans of the show, mate.
Finally, one for the ladies today. Jump on our Instagram, Fitting Ripper Instagram, because I've had them repost this picture that Calvin Harris has put up. And God love him when, you know, the Biebers of the world are getting
bounce.
Nude. He has done a happy birthday to his manager, who is clearly this chubby guy, and he's standing with him as a happy birthday. So Calvin has taken off his clothes and is just in his underpants, and he is smoking.
Do you know what he's in for that pasty little skinny guy from Scotland? He's done all right
he
for himself,
so
Calvin
ripped.
Harris, hasn't he?
Do you know what the photo reminds me of?
Oh no, what?
A Fitzy and Whipper promo shot. It's you with your shirt off. It's the fit guy next
you're
to the
Calvin
fat guy.
Calvin Harris.
It just, I saw it and I felt I was a little bit funny about it. You're the one that's in the gym the whole time and I'm the one with the T-shirt on.
We do have a comment here too. Oh. Calvin Harris and Sean Kingston.
Oh, Sean Kingston. What have happened to that guy?
He ate a lot of his family members.
He actually
no,
got
he had
in
a jet ski accident, remember?
He ate the jet ski.
No, he didn't.
He tried to. Did you ever get the chat from your mum and dad? That conversation that you always dread. You wonder if they were going to talk to you about those things.
That you're adopted.
No.
If
you've seen the hair.
Oh, no, well, I haven't had that chat.
No,
if you
no.
guys
no, no, no,
I haven't either. Right.
The minute I hit puberty and I realised my back was as hairy as Dad's, I knew where I'd come from. It was legitimate. I wasn't adopted. I'm part of the squad. We never had the conversation, though. My dad avoids this stuff like the plague. Yeah. And having two sisters, mum and the girls used to talk about things, and dad would get up and leave the dinner table. That's how interested he was. Not open to those
chats.
Yeah,
my old man was awkward in those situations as well. I think, having two boys, I mean, girls for your dad would have been very hard. As a father, and you get to that teenage years, very hard for a father to get involved with those chats.
And remember I told you about that holiday where we're all together and it was a beach-based holiday and Louise didn't really have a top on at the beach. Oh. And Dad wasn't too happy about that. Yeah. He said there's lots of women looking, men looking at her buzzies.
What
Dad,
is going on
Dad
with your
Dad demanded that she put her top back on.
Yeah.
Yeah, topless sunbaking is confronting. I have friends whose dads were the same when or their sisters would topless sunbake. They would always say, put something on.
Why is your sister topless sunbaking next to your dad?
Because you don't want tan lines.
It wasn't really next to dad. Can you just do some sunscreen on the back? It was more we're going down to the beach and then dad would come down at some stage and Louise would be there with her buzzies out.
Your buzzies were bigger than Louise's at the time as well.
I don't think they were,
mate. He didn't want to see them either.
No, let's move on to a mum who's decided to sit her son down and she's wrote an article about it. He's 17 years old and she knows that he's been with girls over the past couple of years and he's at that time of his life where he's a bit adventurous. And she's just written, you know, I want him to be kind and thoughtful in the bedroom.
I don't think you have the right to tell your son how to do that.
No, I don't think it's the actual action.
Right.
It's about being respectful, about caring for the person that you are with.
Understand.
I think a lot of the influences on young people these days and when they're having a special moment is based on things they may have seen online. And that's not the reality and how... the intimacy of nice lovemaking should take place.
No, what am I talking about,
man? I don't know. I feel
I'm going home.
I do agree with
you. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
And that's why I think the
Some passion.
That's why I think the adult industry is a bit of a myth because it's, you know, young blokes feel like that they are these stars.
And they're not.
And young girls do think that it's like a Hollywood movie. Yep. It doesn't play out like
that. No, it doesn't. She's gone on to say you need to be able to satisfy a woman both physically and emotionally. Strange to hear from your parents. A friend of mine, they were a very open family, and tell me if you think this is a bit odd. He'd met a girl one night at the pub and he was still living at home. They'd gone back to his place and there was a moment where it was getting to that point. He said, hang on a minute, I'm responsible, not without protection. He walked into his mum and dad's room and pulled out his mum's drawer, trying not to wake her. Pulled the drawer out, which hit the ground. She woke up. He said, Mum, I'm just looking for protection. She turns to him and says, they're in your dad's drawer, you know that.
Oh.
So to actually sit down as a family and go, guys, can we bring it in? God, where's the milk kept? Where's the toothpaste kept? Where's the, where do we keep those these days?
No, I've never had that conversation with my parents.
That's a little bit strange. 13, 24, 10. Your family's a bit like that, Zay.
Mine's a bit close. We do have some ugly conversations. It's got. I mean, Dad and my sister, they're both doctors, so
that's the
medical
thing.
Stuff doesn't phase us, and then we're all very close. So on top of that, you don't really mind sharing personal stuff. I mean, I remember one year my sister went to Sexpo, and she came back talking about it, and Dad just looked like he wanted to die.
Classic Emma.
Oh, I could not think of anything worse.
I know, awful.
Just the conversation is making me feel so awkward.
Going
now.
To Sexpo with your dad? George is in the Shire. You're quite close to your mum, is that right, George?
Yes, I am.
How close does it get? I mean, God, are you best mates?
Yeah, I actually went to Sexpo with both of my parents.
That's weird. Wow. Georgie, why, as a bit of a joke or what, you needed to learn a few things or what was going on, George?
No, just for fun. It was very awkward. We got sort of spanked on the ass and it was like, oh, that's kicky. And we were all sort of like, oh, no.
Oh,
no. No, it's not like that.
So your mum and dad are still together, Georgie?
Yeah, they are. Yep. Very happily married.
Georgie, can I be cheeky and ask, and don't give me details, did you buy anything in front of your parents?
I didn't, but my parents did.
Oh no.
Did your mum or dad buy it?
I don't know. I went off and did something else.
Oh,
I love
no.
That.
No, that's not awesome. Ending up under the Christmas tree, is it?
Oh, no. Mum's over in the corner getting another lap dance.
This is weird.
Tennille from Lumia. Are you a little bit too close to your mum, Tennille?
Most would say too close because we tell each other absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my virginity on the night of one of my Christmas parties and I got dropped back to a hotel room about 4 a.m.
Go on, Tennille.
Jumped on the phone. Mum, guess what? 4 in the morning, she says, what? Oh, I just had sex. And her reaction was priceless. It was, oh, how was it?
Oh, wow.
And then off I went into the detail.
Wow. But see, I think that's a better phone call than your mates, I suppose, Sarah, because that's probably the first
thing you do. You're not calling your friends.
In that situation.
No, you call your mum.
No, you don't, sir. You call your mate over your mum any day of the week.
Okay, well, there's a difference between guys and girls there. Yeah.
No, not one guy's having that moment thinking, can't wait to tell mum about this.
Hey, lovely to meet you. Thanks for coming. The cab's arrived. I might get going. Just stroke the car. Hey, Mum. You won't believe it.
Can we get to Neil on the show again tomorrow, Tommy? Just for a couple more stories. Yeah. What a highlight.
That is awesome. I mean, who did you ring, Tom?
Me?
Yeah.
When it happens, he'll
Rosemary?
Tell you.
Rosemary?
Because you were 32 at the time.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, 32. And, reversed the charges and gave Mum a buzz. From the phone booth.
Awesome, mate. Yeah. Great job.
Was the person that you did it with reversed their charges as well. Jeez, it was a big night of The Bachelor last night. Kiki got the boot. Which was great news for Kiki because we know that Shane Warne has been pursuing her.
Good luck.
And now he can do that a little bit more because she will not be the Bachelorette. And to talk about it a little bit more, this man knows about this show so much. It's Sam Wood, previous Bachelor.
Sam, hey. Thank you, boys. Thank you for having me.
I mean, if you were to look at the girls in the house right now,
yep.
I mean, where would Sam Wood go? Alina's very attractive, isn't she?
Just first impressions, Sammy. Yeah, was there anyone that took you sort of your breath away? And I know you've got beautiful schnez now.
There's no schnez.
I was sitting on the couch next to Schnez when we watched episode one, and we both said, Schnez actually said it more than me, that Alina is, quite striking. She has beautiful eyes.
Beautiful eyes,
the one that jumped out early.
Where's Alina from?
She Russian? Ukrainian?
Russian.
Ukrainian.
I think so.
Yeah, right. So she can't compete at the Olympics, the poor bugger.
No. She's not on performance-enhancing drugs, though. She has been drug tested before going into the house.
I think they all are, mate.
It's hard to say at this stage.
It's hard. But do you sit down with Schnez now? Or you're not into it as much, is it? It's a bit hard.
Yeah, it's a bit hard. I mean, everyone sort of asks you, sort of wants the inside info. Schnez has her own kind of theories on it.
Yeah.
She kind of keeps an eye out whoever's out and about, she feels probably hasn't won.
Yep.
So if she sees him in little groups and they're all buddy-buddy and they're hitting the party scene or the fashion scene, she kind of smells a rat.
But, Sammy, you know what? In your relationship with Schnez, you've just bought a new place and, you know, you're probably thinking about marriage soon and stuff like that. You can get, you need as much money as you can get.
True.
What if we ring Schnez now and just say that you've got an inside tip when you went over to Channel 10 today and you found out who's going to win The Bachelor? What girl is the winner?
Yep.
You've rung a mate and you found out that you can get odds of 4-1 for this person, but you want to put $25,000 out of both of your hard-earned money.
Yep. I mean, there's two things. Would Schnez trust you to place the bet? Secondly, is she more than happy with cheating the system like this?
Yeah, she's probably not one having cheating the system. Yeah. Schnez is pretty trusting with the money stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, she spends $25,000 pretty quick.
It all sort of
evens out. We've been decorating the house. And
she'd be like, $100,000, what's that? And you'll go
that's a weekend at Chadston.
Five Chanel handbags. I mean, all right.
She'll rip through that.
Let's give her a call.
Okay.
And see if you can get her over the line. $25,000. We don't condone gambling. Or anything like that.
Yes, we do.
Hi, honey.
How are you?
Oh, the same.
The same. So I've just got something. I've just got to speak quickly. I was just in the coffee shop at 10. And
yeah.
I bumped into a guy that I met on the show, and he's told me who he's pretty sure is the winner in Nikki. And so I rang a mate of mine who's got a betting account, and he said we can get 4-1 on it, but we have to put a minimum bet on of $25,000. Obviously, I don't want to be throwing a bet of $25,000 on it without getting your permission.
For what? This bet on what?
A bet on The Bachelor. So he's told me Nikki definitely wins, or he's pretty he was pretty sure. I said, mate, if I'm going to put a bet on this, I really need to know. And then he kind of backed off a little bit. I'm like, mate, does she win or does she not? Anyway, he kind of looked at me and nodded, and then someone else walked in, so he had to walk off. But we can, we get 4-1 odds, so we'll win $75,000. We'll take home 100 if we put $25,000 on it.
What if she doesn't win?
Well, then we lose $25,000. Are you okay with it being a bit dodgy, though?
I don't care about the dodginess. I just care about it.
I knew you wouldn't.
I thought no, that'd be okay. Doesn't bother.
You just care about the 25 grand.
Yeah.
What do you say? Do we roll the dice?
When do you have to know it by?
Got to do it now. Chut's in 10 minutes and he won't be able to do it after that.
I don't know, because that sounds dodgy in itself, that he has to be a minimum of 25.
Yeah, I know. But that's $75,000. See what we do with $75,000. What a holiday.
But why does it have to be a minimum of 25?
It just does. I don't know.
It's not the freaking, it's not like the NBA or something. It's the Bachelor.
Like, Snares, do you know how many Gucci handbags you could buy for 100 grand?
It's Fitzy and Whipper, hello.
It's the Bachelor.
Sorry, baby.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure you're an
asshole. Just the fact
you're
that...
You're such an asshole.
You didn't have a problem with it being dodgy, did you?
No worries about that. So Macedonian.
Oh, Snez, you're the best.
You're a good sport, baby.
Okay.
Thanks, Snez. Bye.
See you later, guys. Bye.
Bye.
All right, mate. Well, mate, it's always a pleasure to get you in, big fella. The next program of 28 by Sam Wood, it begins Monday. If you want more info, visit 28bysamwood.com. Always a pleasure,
thanks,
legend.
Boys.
Thanks, brother.
Test, test. Test. And now it's time for Tom, the overweight-looking Russell Brand producer. Time. Tom.
All right.
Very good. Hi, Fitzy. Hi, Whipper. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Tom.
And what a beautiful Sydney morning it is today. God, for Tom time. Wow, I'm excited. Are you excited?
Are you still going to Johnny the trainer, the personal trainer?
I haven't been to Johnny for a couple of weeks now.
You can tell.
Your rig's still looking pretty good, though,
well,
Tom.
Well, I've been doing my 22 push-ups every morning, Fitzy, so thank you for noticing.
Well done, mate.
My pecs. All right.
Oh,
so,
my back.
No, not that song. No. Okay, so if you haven't heard before, Tom time is a simple game. Simple incriminating questions. The answer is either Fitzy or Whipper.
Yeah, I get it, mate.
Thank you, mate. And this morning it is date night at Gold Class.
Awesome.
And who doesn't love that?
Oh, tell me about it. Yeah. Chelsea from Illawong, welcome to the show, Chels.
Hey, guys.
All right.
Chelsea, you got to get all three correct to take home the Gold Class.
Question number one, Chelsea. Who has taken their office theft to the next level, stealing team members' deodorant to fresh up every single morning when he gets in the office to freshen up, stealing deodorant? Who is that, Fitz or Whip?
Whipper.
Absolute thief.
Well done. Well done, Chelsea.
Whipper is your default answer. I've just run out. Do you know what I mean?
It's been 2 weeks.
No, but I it's one of those things where it's 4:30 in the morning. You've got out of the shower, and then you go, "Oh God, what do I do now? I've forgotten again." And then I've used all Lisa's Dove, so she doesn't have anything either.
You would be perfect for a Dove campaign.
Do you think so? Soft, white, gentle.
Mm. I just love that you break a sweat between getting out of bed and getting into work. There's 29 minutes there that you don't need to be sweating so
and
much.
Thank you, Tom, who not only brings his deodorant to work, so spot the guy with a stink issue.
Okay.
He also brushes his teeth around 9 o'clock just to make sure his breath is fine.
How's your allergy with soap going, Whip?
I've started using
it
again.
Yeah, it's
better. Yeah, this month I've started again.
Question number two. Good luck, Chelsea. Who has demanded that the studio cameras be reinstalled because they block his view of Magic Millie in the booth outside?
Oh, God, you're struggling this morning.
Any clues?
Chelsea,
he's a rotund man.
Chelsea, you got a 50-50 chance, love.
Come on.
We can't give you much better than that.
Hit.
Just go for it.
Well done,
Chelsea. You've gone with your gut.
Tom. Yeah,
you've
very
gone
good.
With the guts.
You know I had
Here
it.
We go.
I'm trying to look at Magic Millie. Like, at 6:30 in the morning, normally I give her a signal. I go, yep, ready for the coffees.
right? And now with these cameras inside,
now you have to actually speak.
Can you
to her.
Still see me, Magic Millie?
She can't see you.
No, she's actually. Oh, she's holding up the one finger. I don't want to see.
The other positive for that is that when a hot dog arrives or when some Krispy Kremes arrive, you can't see them now and be distracted. Right.
Come on, I need to see Magic Millie's face.
Question number three, and good luck. This one will get you the two gold class, Chelsea. Who has suggested that the New South Wales courts should introduce a new punishment for criminals, forcing them to play Tom Time to win their release from prison? Would that be Fitzy or would that be Whipper?
Come on, Chelsea.
I'm going to go Fitzy on this one.
Absolutely correct.
Oh, wow, Chelsea!
Yes, Fitzy suggested.
So instead of jail time, it's Tom Time. Yes. So what, the court's going to take place, the judge will find someone guilty,
yes,
and they'll be sentenced to play Tom Time.
Yeah. No, my suggestion was, Tom.
Here we go.
Instead of doing your community service or, you know, a couple of weeks in prison for not paying your parking fines.
Yeah.
You have to listen to Tom Time for like 8 hours. So you're sentenced to 8 hours of Tom Time.
Yeah, but they've cut down on torture in prisons.
You know, because after 4 minutes, we're stuffed.
Yeah, I need it.
My ears are bleeding.
Yeah.
Love to gather everyone around the round table here. I mean, grab a seat, sir. Pull it up.
You betcha.
God, it's good to have breakfast together. That's the chair that's being pulled.
Sounds like a body being dragged.
Sarah, that's my seat. Can you get out of that seat?
Can
that's
I get anyone a coffee? You want a glass of wine? You want a champagne? I'm a barista as well, so I do coffees. Short black. What would you like, sir? Macchiato.
Piccolo, please. Piccolo
what do you latte. Want to talk about, mate? I don't have much time.
What do you mean? Oh, Matty DeGroote, what do you want for breakfast?
I'll just talk.
Anything?
Yeah. I've got to go pay some bills.
Just want to chat about sleeping. If you're on the way to work right now and you're a bad sleeper, what are your techniques? Because they've been throwing around the
to
best...
sleep bad?
Yeah. What are your techniques to get to sleep if you're a bad sleeper? That's what I want to bring around the table today, guys.
What, like counting sheep and stuff?
Yeah, do you reckon that works?
I do the whole, I go through my wardrobe in my head.
What?
I go through and try and remember all the clothes in my wardrobe, and I'm always asleep within a few minutes.
Seriously?
Yeah, because I try and work out what I want to wear tomorrow.
This is the weirdest.
No,
this is the weirdest for me, right? Do you know what makes me feel really comfortable?
Yeah.
That I'm being chased through a forest by someone, and they're out to kill me, right? And I find this hiding spot that is just so good
this
that they
weird.
Can't find me, and I'm
really
and
weird.
I'm in this comfortable little spot, and I can see them, but they can't see me, and they're like, "Where's he gone? Where's he gone?" And I'm just in this spot going, mate, you can't get me.
Is it our program director chasing you?
No. And it's just
you'd
like...
You'd have to give up on the Pokemon for
that. Some reason, that gives me comfort.
Really? Yeah. Being chased.
God. Yep, and then I feel so comfortable and I can start going to sleep.
And I'm made to look weird on this show. They reckon your good night's sleep starts during your day. You need X amount of sunlight per day. So they're saying if you've got a desk that's near a window, then you're a better sleeper. So you get your vitamin D, and then you know that when the sun goes down, you're in tune with it, and all living things must rest when the darkness arrives.
A load of BS,
that's
mate.
Not bad. Coffee. Keep clear of that one. Be aware of a second wind after 10 p.m. is another warning. So,
what do you have for dinner?
Sarah, that is 10 o'clock. that was spot on.
Well done,
hang on a minute, it's 9:55. What about this one? The best way to get a good night's sleep is also to sleep naked in bed, which I don't do. I find being completely nude in bed is...
I totally disagree with that as well. As a guy, I think support is vital when you go to bed.
I agree.
And I sometimes like to roll over onto my stomach.
Yeah, sure.
And you couldn't do it.
No, it doesn't work like that.
Has anyone seen there's a new bed that's been made? Memory foam. And they've cut it up into, it's like slats there on the bed, and you think, oh, that doesn't sound comfortable, but you can still spoon your partner and put your arm underneath them, and your arm goes into the bed.
Yeah, your arm sinks into the bed.
So you don't get a dead arm.
But it splits, so it doesn't sort of mould into the bed. It's a place for your arm to go.
What happens when you get a dead arm?
Well, you don't get a dead arm.
You
because
don't.
Your arm's not being rested on.
Yeah, because they're not leaning on your arm and taking the circulation.
Because when you're spooning, there is always an awkward arm. You just think, if I could get rid of that one arm, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but now the bed lets you take the arm. That's clever. What about you, Sarah? I mean, is it rude to ask what you're getting around in at night time?
It is rude, but you do. Okay, thanks.
Oh, Gary, there's a good point. What's Gary wearing?
I like to wear pajamas. Gary prefers to go in his birthday suit.
Yeah, so that's. Oh,
yeah. And I always say to him, you know, you can just leave your undies on. And he's like, no, I prefer to be nude. And I'm like, but hang on, what if I roll over and accidentally hit you?
And you're on his bum.
Yeah.
See, the other thing as well is that guys, when they go to sleep, they don't even know, but there's things that do grow.
Your hair, like your toenails,
your eyebrows.
Your ears never stop growing.
It's about blood flow, sir. It's about circulation.
No, but it does. Like,
teach me, masters.
And Tom, you know when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're busting to go to the toilet. When you wake up in the middle of the night and you're busting to go to the toilet, sometimes you've got to wait a couple of minutes
go. Or stand 3 meters from the toilet.
You do. This is being serious. So when you're sleeping next to someone, do you sometimes feel like, Sarah, do you wake up and you're having a dream that someone's got like a broom into your back?
I mean, that's a very generous description, but no.
That is not where I wanted to take this.
Gary is going to be so angry at me after today.
Poor Gary.
Yeah, poor
what about you, MD?
Absolutely nothing.
No comment on that one, mate? It's best we don't ask when it comes to you, to be honest. According to HR, anyway. Fitzy and Whipper.